All right, this is, just to get everybody engaged, I have a question. As we're talking about group culture, group buy-in, just by show of hands, how many of you have been in a group, how many of you have never been in a group where a participant has dropped mid-year? Has anyone ever made it all through all their groups with no dropped participants? Couple, raise them high, that's something to be proud of. Okay, so really, these folks right here can hold the rest of the session, because that's pretty good. For everyone else, like, y'all have seen this over the years, that life happens, groups happen, and people will inevitably drop. That's never, it's never what we want to see. We recognize that it does happen. So a big part of this session is, how can we equip all of you to be like these handful, 10 people who raised their hands saying that they've never had a drop from one of their groups. That's awesome. So we're gonna go over 3 A's of group culture and group buy-in. And they should hopefully give you kind of a framework of how to be thinking about your role as a leader. A lot of it starts at the beginning of the group, but really these 3 A's continue throughout the year. So your first A, anybody have a guess? Just kind of funsies. Anybody have a guess, first A?
Ambiguity.
No. I heard some A's shout out. They're good. The first one is accountability. Okay, accountability. Setting clear expectations at the beginning of the year. Truly, setting clear expectations on your first night of group is going to set the tone for participants and set the tone for buy-in throughout the year. And then beyond that, how you uphold the expectations that you've set. And, you know, I was thinking about how to convey this point. There's been studies that have been done. Oftentimes we think that when people are struggling or when people are having a hard time, we don't want to overburden them. And so we'll lower the bar to meet them where they are. And, I was doing some research on ChatGPT, as we do these days. And the studies that have been done on this show the exact opposite, is that when we lower the bar and try to meet people where they are, people treat that as license not to step up and not to buy in. And so when I talk about accountability, the 3 things that I'm specifically referring to, and these are your 3 blanks, are consistent weekly attendance, completion of curriculum, and weekly memory verse. And consistent weekly attendance, I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? There's not a whole lot of like, oh, what does that mean? But when I start a group, and I've led with Daniel before, and he's kind of an expert of this. I wish I had a recording of his first week intro of what it means to be consistently in attendance. But there's a couple things. One, there are acceptable reasons to miss group, but we often, I think, give people too much license for what those reasons could be. And so setting the expectation that, hey, like, having a long day at work probably isn't a good reason to miss group. It just isn't. Like, we get it. Weeks are stressful. We all have busy jobs. We all have stuff going on in life. But by being an adult and committing to be a part of this group, we are trusting our members, and we are, as leaders, holding them and holding ourselves accountable to making it a priority to be there each week. Sometimes you'll have people rolling in straight from work. Sometimes you'll have people coming in a few minutes late from work, and like, that's the model of what it looks like to do that well, is saying like, hey, if you're getting off work at 7 o'clock and coming straight to group, you probably prefer to go home and have a chill night, have some dinner and go to bed. Like, that is the level of accountability that we're calling people to, is even when it's inconvenient, making it a priority to be there. And so when I would set this standard from week one of saying, hey, we are expecting every attendee to be here at group each week. And we have, I think creating a group text is really helpful for your group. I don't think email is going to cut it. So if you're an email person, I would switch to group text. And having people text in the group if they're not going to make it. And not just texting in the group, but also saying why they're not going to make it. It can be really easy as the year progresses, if people are missing consistently, for that to kind of become just a trend and a theme. And so in order to get out in front of that, having people say, hey, I'm not going to be at group this week and here's why, disincentivizes people from just saying, hey, it's been a long day, I'd rather get home early and get to bed, so I'm gonna cut through tonight. That being the expectation. Timeliness is also kind of lumped into that. And so then, like, from the accountability perspective, and this goes for the other two as well, completion of curriculum, weekly memory verse, like, what do we do when those standards aren't being met? I think the level of severity of the case in hand warrants the level at which we respond. And so, like, for me, if somebody's consistently showing up late to group, and I know that they're not coming from something pressing, I know they're just bad with their time, I'll always send a text in the group text, like, tagging them and saying, "Hey, Hamilton, what time does group start tonight?" You know, so, like, it's not that deep, but just kind of, it's a reminder, right? It's a reminder that, hey, this actually does matter. We notice that you're showing up late every week. You know, we want you to be here at 7:30 or at 7 or whatever time your group starts. So it starts as something a little like that. And honestly, even better if someone else in your group cares about it and they can be the person said, "Hey, Hamilton, what time does group start?" Because that tells Hamilton, "Hey, I gotta be there." Right, so it starts, and Hamilton's not somebody to be late, so I'm not worried about him. But it starts pretty, you know, maybe pretty light and not that serious. But if somebody's consistently missing group, they're consistently showing up to group without their curriculum filled in, they're not participating as a result. If you're in growth group and people aren't completing the memory verse, and it becomes habitual, like one or two times, that's life. Three or four times starts becoming a habit, and your obligation as a leader is to get on the phone with that person or to get a meal with them. Honestly, in person's even better. And in a loving but prodding way, remind them of the expectation, ask them where they've been. Sometimes people have situations going on in life, and better for you as a leader to know that and help re-engage them than to silently hold bitterness towards them. But it's no good to just sit there the whole year and say, "Man, this person's been here twice in the past 2 months. I don't know where they are." So you as a leader have to go above and beyond to reach out to them. The last thing from an accountability perspective is I think it's great to share responsibility. Like I said, with these studies that have shown, and it's a great thing to say when you're a speaker, studies have shown the higher bar is better from participation, from buy-in perspective. So if there are people, like, say that you're not the most fun person. Not everybody can be. I'm not the most fun person, but I know who the fun people are. And so leveraging people for what they're good at. Maybe you're not the most creative when it comes to an icebreaker or when it comes to a game to play on the fellowship night, but you know that these two 24-year-olds in your group are great at that. Like, engage them. Make them the fun committee for your group and leverage them. Maybe you have somebody who's really passionate about prayer. And you say, "Hey, for the next 2 weeks, I want you to come up with the prayer prompts for our group," giving them responsibility, giving them a role. Maybe you're delegating somebody to be the snack person for the week. Like, giving people purpose and roles and then holding them to that increases their buy-in, even if it is more work. So that's number one. Number two, availability. Oh, yes.
James, can you repeat the second and third points?
Completion of curriculum and memory verse. And memory verse just applies for growth group, but it's so important. I originally thought to call this one accessibility, but for number two, it's actually availability. I was told that accessibility pertains more to, like, people with disabilities and wheelchairs and things like that. So while that is important, ADA compliance is always a plus, item number two is availability. So the three blanks there, before group, after group, and during the week. Working in youth ministry, I have a lot of volunteer leaders, and so while this isn't my specific arena where I have oversight of leaders, it's something that I deal with a lot. And so what I always tell youth leaders is that deep relationships aren't formed on Sundays and during D groups. Deep relationships are formed in the day-to-day, the one-off interactions, the things where you can actually have one-on-one conversation with people. And so I think that these three blanks, before group, after group, and during the week, are where some of those deeper relationships are primed to be cultivated. And so if you're hosting a group or if you're a leader at somebody else's house, both are equally good, what are you doing to make yourself available before group? I think it is great. I would highly encourage you to let your group know that they're welcome over before group. They can bring their own dinner. If you're in a group of kids, they can help with kids' bedtime routines. They can be a part of whatever's going on before group. But that, how do you call it? That just unstructured time, I think, is really valuable for helping the group bond, for helping deeper relationships form outside of the more regimented discussion time. I think if you have the bandwidth to do it, maybe once a month or once every 6 weeks, you can have the group over for dinner. You can have people, you know, bring a specific dish or dessert or an appetizer, things like that. But letting them know, hey, the house is open. Feel free to come and hang out with us before group is great. After group, what does your time after group look like? I think if you make it clear as a leader, as a host, that after group you want people to hit the road, like, I think that's a huge miss. After group, being a leader requires some sacrifice. And maybe one area of sacrifice for y'all as leaders this year could be that you're willing to accept a slightly later bedtime on group nights in order to open that time up for relationships and for fellowship. And that will vary group to group. If you're in a group full of, I don't know what the same age to say here is, 50-year-olds, I don't know, 50-plus, maybe after group isn't as much of a time of fellowship for y'all. I don't know. I've mostly been in groups with some other young folks like myself, you know, spry. But after group is another great time. I mean, I've been in a Thursday night group the past 2 years, and like when we as the guys would finish prayer time, first thing we do is turn on Thursday night football, and the guys are sticking around to hang out, watch the end of the game. So as a leader, like an area of sacrifice that really opens the door for deeper relationships is making your home available both before and after group, and not saying, hey, like, don't come over until 7 because we're gonna be putting the kids down, or hey, you know, after group we need everybody to get out right away because we gotta get to bed. Like, nobody has to come early, nobody has to stay late, but by giving that option, by leaving your home open for that, I think you're really opening up the door, proverbially speaking, for really more meaningful relationships. Because discussion time is great, and it's important, and we're studying God's word together, but people want to come to group when they're excited to see their friends, when they're excited to be at the house. Like, going over to, I'll use the example of the Ernests, because I was leading with them last year, like, walking into their front door, and immediately being greeted by the kids, and immediately Kelsey hollering at you, and, you know, stuff's going on, they're cleaning up the house, they're calling us in to help clean up before group. Like, that is what makes their house a place we're excited to go each week. The flip side is, if you come in and everybody feels stressed out, they're not greeting you at the door, they're trying to finish up their stuff without making it clear that participants are welcome over, like, then you feel like you're stepping on their toes by coming in early. And so, truly, that before group time is and post group time are super fruitful from a relational perspective. Last one there is during the week. What are you as a leader doing to invest in relationships with your participants? Community group is a relational ministry. It's a discipleship ministry. If you've been at church the past 2 weeks and are planning on coming back, like, you will have heard and you will be hearing about our church's mission of relational discipleship. And kind of back to that original point, like, deep relationships aren't formed on Sundays in that community group. They're formed in those one-on-one or one-on-two interactions. And so, I get it. Everybody's busy. Everybody has stuff going on. But making yourself available during the week, seeking out breakfasts, coffees, lunches, walks. If none of that is available, being engaged in a group text with the guys from your group, reaching out to them digitally throughout the, like, doing things outside of just your night of the week is how you actually engage in relational ministry. It doesn't just happen in the formal times. If it does, I think that you're leaving something on the table. Last one, number three, and this one was guessed. Number three is attitude. Attitude. Your attitude around your group participants will impact the culture on Sundays and throughout the week. All right, this is a very important quote. A very wise woman, and I think also Travis Hill has said this before, your first blank, fun is fun. Just is. No two ways about it. Fun is fun. And if you're just downstairs in Daniel's talk, or if you're just up here for Travis's, like, we also hold the material that we're going through in group very seriously. But if group isn't a place that people are excited to be a part of, then people will start to waver. That's when you get to March, like Daniel was saying downstairs. That's when you get to March and people are tired and they're maybe worried about other people getting sick, and so they don't want to show up because they're, you know, protecting others. But those are the things that we need to be trying to avoid. And part of that is to have fun. And I said this before, like, maybe you're not the fun guy. Travis, in the back right there, is fun all the time. Like, I hear about after group, you know, they'll do, like, trivia nights. They'll play, like, guys versus girls for the memory verse. And I'm about to rattle off a couple of examples of some of those things. And that's fun, right? But, like, we care about God's word a lot, right? Yes, agreed. Good. Does anybody know John 10:10 off the top of their head? What's your name? And just crush that. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come so they may have life and have it abundantly. And I think part of abundant life is meant to be fun, right? So we can take God's word really seriously. We can take our group discussion time and our prayer time very seriously. And we can have a lot of fun while we're doing it. I think we should have a lot of fun while we're doing it. So what does that look like? The next blank is on group nights. Are you willing, from an attitude perspective, are you willing to set aside stress? If you've led a group before, I think, like, we've all had those weeks where we don't feel like we got the curriculum done to the extent that we would like to. We feel like we're coming in a little bit frazzled, trying to finish things up. We've had a hard week at work. Whatever the case may be, but are you willing to set aside stress to engage with people when they walk into the door, to smile at them when they come in, to welcome them into your home? Or is your response to them when they come in to be carrying that stress from the week? And again, I'm not saying, like, mask your feelings, like that, you know, you'll get into it in prayer time, hopefully, with the guys and with the girls, but are you willing to be a smiling face when people come through your door on group nights, even if you've had a hard week? On Sundays, right? The two times where you're guaranteed to see your group participants are on whatever night your group is and on Sunday. So are you making Sunday worship a priority? Are you coming back on Sundays, maybe making a priority to be back by the 5 o'clock service as not to miss worship? Are you texting in your group to say, hey, here's what service we're going to, here's where we're sitting, so that the people in your group know they have someone to sit with, that they can join you? The reality is, especially if you're in a growth group, not everyone has their crew that they go to church with yet. And so you as a leader have an opportunity to establish that crew with them. Say, hey, me and my wife, me and my friends, we always go at 9 o'clock and we sit on the middle right side and we'd love for you to join us. If you're a young adult without kids, we go to church at 5 o'clock. Shout out, who's there? We go to church at 5 o'clock, come sit with us on the right side. Whatever the case may be, you have an opportunity to establish culture and to engage with your group on Sundays. And then the last one is during the week. This kind of ties back to the availability, but what is your attitude towards meeting with your participants? Are you making yourself excitedly available, or are you making yourself begrudgingly available? Are you squeezing people in, or are you giving them opportunities to spend time with you? And depending on your life stage, this can and this will look different, right? If you have kids, meeting up with people after work may be a little bit more of a challenge, but you can get breakfast with a guy from your group before work. Or maybe meeting up with somebody outside the home is difficult, but you have the bandwidth to invite people into your home. And are you excited about doing that? The reality is, you know, I've said this from the start, but small groups, community groups, growth groups, all of them, it's all relational ministry. If the idea of being relational is not exciting to you, then challenge you to change your attitude, right? Because we are all being called. I am commissioning you. Travis is commissioning you. We as a church are commissioning you to use this as the springboard for discipleship. You'll be with your group all year, but hopefully the relationships that are being formed are going deeper, are turning into something meaningful. And that's not going to happen if nobody wants to be at your group. And so the three A's are meant to be kind of a barometer for how can you check in on how you're doing. So you can ask, you know, at the beginning of the year, talk with your leaders about how are we going to set the bar for accountability? What's that going to look like for us? How are we going to set the standards on week one? As a leader team, you should talk about how are we going to make ourselves available? As relationships form throughout the year, I think it's worth being strategic with your co-leaders to say, hey, I get along well with these handful of guys, you get along well with these handful of guys. Like, you take the reins here, I'll take the reins here. Same deal with your attitude. You can ask yourself and your co-leaders, hey, how are you doing engaging with the people? Are you excited to see them? Are you making time for them throughout the week? Are you sitting with them at church on Sundays? And if you're doing those three things consistently, if you're holding your group accountable, if you're making yourselves available, and if you're having a good attitude, I can't guarantee you're not going to lose any participants. It happens to the best of us. It happened to me this past year. You know, like, we've all been there. But I can promise you that you're going to have a lot of success as far as your group wanting to be there. So with our last 2 minutes before I dismiss you all, I'm going to share just a few fun examples in case you're like, man, what does any of this look like? A few fun examples from over the years. I mentioned this already. Thursday nights after group, turn on Thursday night football. Super easy, super fun, gets the guys to stick around. And I've heard, at least in youth ministry, if the guys are around, the girls will all be around. I don't know. That's the rumor on the street. So there's that. I think that once a semester, twice a semester, having group over for dinner before group is a ton of fun. Or on a fellowship night, having it be a dinner in the household. I think that's a lot of fun, good opportunity for conversation. Travis's group, I know, with Memory Verse, they would do a weekly boys versus girls competition where they would go around the circle for Memory Verse and they would have to each say one word of the verse. And if whoever had the fewest mistakes would win that weekend. They kept a year-long tally, and there was some prize for the guys or the girls. Like, I can't remember who wins or who won, but I have to imagine it was the girls because they're usually better at that. What else? A group trivia night where, like, leaders taking initiative from the group are creating trivia about members of the group. And so for a fellowship night, they're doing trivia about the members of their group. I think tasking people with, you know, having a rotation of people who are going to bring a sweet treat for group, bring cookies, something like that. All of these are little, not expectations, right? Your expectation is to be there on whatever night, to be there on Sundays. But going above and beyond the formal expectations that have been set for you, that is going to be how you're going to get your participants excited about being a part of your group. I'll throw it back to John 10:10 one more time. Like, we take God's word really seriously. We take the community and the discussion aspect of it really seriously, but it should also be a source of life and a source of fun for the people in your group to want to be there. And hopefully these tools will help you get there. If not, come and talk to me and we'll get into it. But I'm about to dismiss you guys. I've been told by Travis there are a few things. One, everybody's gonna pick up their chair and put them on that rack. The middle schoolers can do it, so I trust y'all can figure it out. Two, lunch is provided for all of you downstairs. Before you get lunch, if you have a kid in childcare, please go grab them. And three, Dan, what was number three?
Eat lunch,
yeah, have some fun. Hey, have some fellowship. You're not expected to be here, but it's your opportunity to create culture amongst your leader team. So I'll leave y'all with that. If you have any questions, I'll be around. See you guys.